Heavenly Father, we thank you again for a time of fellowship in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How good and how blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, that the precious oil upon the Aaron's head through its beard down to the tip of its garment, and in there, in the unity, the Lord commands his blessing. Mm-hmm. So there's always a blessing when God's children congregate. God has ordained it to be so. Father, we thank you. Not to even talk of one chasing 1,000, and two putting 10,000 into flight. Not to even talk that these two of you shall agree as touching anything they shall ask from us, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. We thank you for being our need this morning, the covenant-keeping God, the everlasting covenant. So we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us your word, the entrance to it giveth life. The word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. Therefore shall we never walk in darkness. So we thank you as we read this morning. We trust you able to bless us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus. Today is what is called a Palm Sunday. So if you allow me to give a title.
I don't know if I brought some palm.
That's true. We have some at the back there. Anyway, the subject is this day in history, the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem. This day in history, the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem. Where we know the Bible tells us in Revelation 19:10 that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So talking about Palm Sunday and so forth, and this day in prophecy, I think I want to go back into everything about Christ is prophecy. So we know that. Want to begin this prophecy from the book of Daniel. Daniel the 9th chapter, the 20th verse. Read a couple of verses from there. Daniel 9:20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. If I may stop there for a while, Daniel confessing his sin. And you know, this is one of the people in the whole Bible where there is nothing recorded against him at all, like Joseph of old, you know, where some in the Christendom, we want to just say, well, look at Daniel and so forth. But when you are in Christ too, your sins have been blotted out too, praise the Lord, by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the everlasting covenant. They that he, you know, he foreknew. I mean, he predestinated us and called us. Those who he called, he justified us. Justify means that we never sin at all as far as he is concerned, praise the Lord. Anyway, so it doesn't mean that, of course, you know, when you miss it and so on, that you know you repent. First John 1, I say. Anyway, verse 21, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being called to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed him and talked with me and said, oh Daniel, I am now comfort to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of that supplication, the commandment came forth and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, meaning the Jews, and upon thy holy city, that's Jerusalem, right? To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make a reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal off the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Verse 25 says, where is the core of the message I want to really talk about by the God's grace? Know therefore, I understand, that for the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 80 and 2 weeks. The street shall be built again, he says, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 80 and 2 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the world desolations are determined. So say Angel Gabriel to Daniel and so forth, that you know. So the question we want to ask ourselves is this. So there are 70 weeks given now in 3 segments. That is 7 weeks, that is 52 weeks, and then 1 week right there, you know. So if you add the first 7 weeks to the 80 and 2, we've got 69 right there. That's how we're going to concentrate this morning concerning the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus into Jerusalem. It's all prophesied. The testimony of Jesus, as we read before, is the spirit of prophecy. I read that scripture, say, unto him, give all the prophets, all of them, they give him witness, you know. And so we know that's why we are beginning. I was talking about the very short, you know, kind of a message this morning, to see the root where the Palm Sunday is couched in prophecy. Anyway, so when was the commandment really given to return Jerusalem? Well, we're going to combine history with scriptures here, you know, of when and who gave the commandment, and what time was it given in the time in history of the world and so on, that you know. Now, this decree was actually the decree given Artaxerxes, was his name, a Persian king. And it was given in BC 445. And that is spoken of in Nehemiah 2. Let us read that too, you know. Recall that the Gabriel said that for the going forth of the command. Which commandment was it, you know? Where was it given? So we see combining history and scripture. It was given by that Persian king called Artaxerxes, and it was given in BC 445. And I read from Nehemiah chapter 2, the first verse. And it came to pass in the month in the sun, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that this Nehemiah talking now, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad? And seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart, the king said. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, talk of Jerusalem now, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lie waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please, the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that's Jerusalem, to do what now? That I may build it for the giving of the commandment to build and to restore Jerusalem to the Messiah, the Prince. It's a time space, right? So you see, to go and build it, right? So, and that's with the root of the thing and so on. That is the decree, that is the commandment. So anyway, you can read the rest of the chapter in Nehemiah 2, concerning Nehemiah and some of that, you know. I will just stop right there. That I may build it, the commandment to restore and to build, Jerusalem and so on, to the Messiah and so forth. So it was given to Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer. He was a very, official of the Persian court. He was the high official of the Persian, court was Nehemiah at that time. And one of the king's trusted servants. I was permission to return to Jerusalem to do what? And build it. You see? As you can see, it was a political and not really a religious mission, as one would think, as it's evident from the opposition of outsiders. So we know, if you read back through the whole thing, Book of Nehemiah, there was great opposition, such as from Sanballat and Tobiah. I don't have to go and read all those scriptures, but it was greatly opposed and so forth, you know, who felt that the rebuilding of the wall and the fortifying of the city was a religious act, so it was greatly opposed. In fact, in the building of faith, he did many things and so forth. And the Bible said they were building with one hand, and the other hand they hold the sword. You see? And so on, you know. Why was that so? You know why was that so? It is because prophecy has to be fulfilled, you know. So, thus Nehemiah is building and restoring the city with the opposition fulfilled the prophecy that Angel Gabriel gave in Daniel 9:25. The streets shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Go and read this in the Book of Nehemiah and so forth. Night and day, you know, some people, they are taking shifts, you know. They were shifting and so on. Some will take some rest, and you know, in the night, they'll be building with one hand and with the other one sword of the opposition and so on. It was in troublous times, just as prophecy said. Now, the purpose of Nehemiah's mission was the restoration of Jerusalem, as well as, you know, as the capital and so on, and the re-establishment of the Jewish nation and so on. While the words of the decree are not given, we didn't know what was written in the decree that king gave, but the work of Nehemiah, because people will argue, you know, where, but the work of Nehemiah, I mean, let us know that it has to do with this restoration of Jerusalem and so on, that, you know. So the letters given to Nehemiah by the king were in the form of decree, they were because evidently they were in the form of a decree. Otherwise, Nehemiah would have had no authority to do what he did. So it was a decree, like the angel Gabriel has said, commandment, he said, as something that, you know. And we know of no other commandment in the whole of history, that talk about the restoration of Jerusalem than that which was given by this king. That's how we know that, the angel Gabriel was referring to this decree that the Artaxerxes gave, in the time of Nehemiah and so forth. So, just lay a foundation right there. The key thing is that, for the going down of the commandment, that is in 445 BC, to the Messiah, the prince, shall be 62, meaning 69 weeks. And we know these are prophetic weeks, So each week is 7 years, really, So that's 69 weeks now, will be 483 years, as we will see later and so on. Let's look at more about the triumphal entry this day in prophecy. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, our king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a coat, the foal of an ass. Another prophecy, the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. Even the triumphal entry is all in prophecy, right? That's one of them right there. Let's see the fulfillment of these prophecies, some of them in the Bible. Very, very short this morning, but I say this day in prophecy, right? I will tell you why I say it's this day in prophecy. Why this day? Not just because it's Palm Sunday, but even specifically the date. And Matthew 21. So put that prophecy in your mind, declare that prophecy and so on in 9:9. Matthew 21 verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, and a coat with ass. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And If any man say unto you, you shall say, the Lord has need of it of them, and straight away ye shall send them. And all this was done. You see, the Bible even tells us that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I just read it to you, Zechariah 9:9, right? Saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a coach, the foot of an ass. Just as the prophet said, it came to pass, no? As the prophet said, the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, even the Palm Sunday, they call it, Caiaphas entry is all cached in prophecy and so forth, no? To him, bear all the prophets witness. That's what Apostle Peter said in the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and so forth. As soon as he said that, I said the Holy Ghost fell upon all the house of Cornelius, you know. Praise be the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful scripture. God's word, accurate. You know, and so on. No contradiction anywhere. Harmonious. No book like this book. The book of prophecy, the book of true science and so forth, things like that, you know. So we can depend upon every promise in there. Next, another scripture concerning the triumphant entry of Christ to Jerusalem in Luke 19, the 39 verse, you know. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if they should hold their peace, the stones will immediately cry out, the Lord said. So, having read all those scriptures, kind of wrap them up in a couple of sentences here. So we are told, like I read in John 12, 13, that the people who went out to meet the Lord, as he descended the Mount of Olives, cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Then we will add the question that's often asked, or we ask is, why was this public proclamation of the kingship of Jesus? Why the proclamation? Why was it? Now, the Father Jesus, our Lord, at that time, not only consented, but he even took steps to bring about his triumphant entry, and some of that you know, by commanding his disciples to bring a certain ass, which location he pointed out, as we read earlier on, to them in Matthew 21:1-3, and declare when he was asked to rebuke the disciples, like I read before in Luke 19, that if they should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. See? This fact, that Jesus, the Lord, not only consented to be called king, he didn't argue it, at that time and so on, as you know, he didn't argue anything about it and so on, but he aided in bringing it about, is proof that the triumphant entry has some prophetic significance. And what greater significance can it be? What can it be? You know, rather, you know, that the 69 weeks of Daniel is terminating. You know, when he say that is why, you know, fulfilling prophecy and so on, that, proclaiming the end of the 69 weeks and the coming of the Messiah, the Prince. That's why. So the triumphant, what I've said to say this now, the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem was the fulfillment of the prophecies of Daniel in 925 and Zechariah 9:9. You see, all over the world, you know, you see, this, you know, the at the end of the age, you know, the deep believers and so forth, with the sense of prophecy, everything we see happening and so forth, they are, Bible prophecy fulfillment and so on. Even the Palm Sunday, they call it, and so on, that, you know. So now, let's look at it. Why this day? The starting point of the 69 weeks, like I read before and I gave the background, was the decree of Artaxerxes, you know, and it was given, according to historical records now, on March 14, B.C. 445, The Israelite people, they traced it back to March 14, 445 BC. And like I show you now, the terminating of that 69 weeks, was the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And history showed that it was on April 2, AD 30. That's why I give the title, This Day in History, the triumphant entry of Christ to Jerusalem. So historical records say that it was March 14, 445 BC, that Antiochus gave that command. And the triumphant entry of Christ was said to have been on April 2, like today is April 2, right? This day in history. April 2, AD 30. A few days before his crucifixion, and recorded in all the Gospels. So we see. The time space between March 14, BC 445 and AD 30, April 2nd, AD 30, was exactly 483 years. Not using solar calendar, but using the prophetic calendar. It was exact of 360 days to a year. So from that day, it's exactly 483 years. Nathaniel said, for the going forth of the commandment to return to be Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince. So to be altogether 7 + 62, 69 weeks. We know 1 week, according to prophetic reckoning and so forth, is 7 years. So 7 years times 69 gives you 483. That's exactly the duration of time for the going forth of the commandment in March 14th, 445 BC to AD, April 20, AD 30. Exactly, if you are counting in 360 days per year, exactly right. So you see the accuracy, all the scriptures. So now, knowing that he was going to be cut off, being crucified, Daniel 26 says so, he shall be cut off, right? And that his messiahship must be publicly recognized. Before that event, the Lord himself took steps toward the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. What did he say? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, because thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So that prophecy are one of the the core prophecy of the old Bible and so forth, the Old Testament Apocalypse, you will call it Book of Daniel and so on. The New Testament is the New Testament Apocalypse, you know, and they go hand in hand, complement each other. And we know that that there are 70 weeks given, and I'm done with this day in history, the triumphant entry. But there are 70 weeks given, we know. And we know that, so the 69 weeks is the crucifixion of Christ. That the Bible said that he will cut off, right? Right there, and like I said, he was cut off a few days, a week after or so after the triumphal entry to Jerusalem and so forth. What happened to the other week? The other week of the 70 weeks, which is 7 years, are still in the future. Now there's a big gap between the cutting off of the Messiah, that is so almost 2,000 years ago, and the 70 weeks is still hanging in the balance. That between the cut of the Messiah and the beginning of the 70th week is the church age, you see? It's the church age, which we have been in for 2,000 years plus now. You know, that's the church age, you know? When the 70th week of Daniel clocks, the church, which is 7 years, right, as we said and so forth. Bible students believe, and I believe also, and we believe, that's our belief, right? In the midst, that's the time the Antichrist, right? We are right. In the middle of that week, 3.5 years into the 70th week, we believe the church will go up. That's what because the last 3.5 years of that 70th week of Daniel will be. So he will make a covenant, right, in those 7 years. Make a covenant with the Jews. That's why Israel, what it is today, Even our greatest friend, US and so forth, they push at us, you know, many, many times and some of that, you know. And they look for friends here, try to make friends with the Arabs. Israel never really invade any nation. Since it became a nation, they are always invading us. Even they are called the army is called IDF, Israeli Defense Forces. They are just for defending themselves. They don't go attack anybody, right? Just to preserve their own country and so forth, you know. So now, you see, the time will come. We are living that time now. The U.S. is our greatest ally, right? And the Democratic Party especially, you know, they are always at loggerhead with us. You know, and finally, it's got a point. That's why they are looking for, they made some treaty with United Arab Emirates and, you know, Saudi Arabia not long ago. But now, they have shifted back to where they were before, in the past 2 weeks. So they shifted back. What is that telling us? It's telling us that there comes a time that Israel will push to the wall. A man will arise upon the earth who will seem to have the answer. Oh yes, your temple that the mass the temple mass is in controversy now. And then you know this government, you know, they are the most pro Bible. I mean the government of Netanyahu are the most related government that Israel has ever had from what we have had and so on, you know. And they are pushing towards that, coming back that, you know, temple man every way of the time and so for that, you know. Of course, one of the last, the United Nations, one of the last thing they have against Israel has to do with the temple man. So we know that, you know, we are living in this history and so for that, you know. Don't forget now, you know, the temple man, all that they need to be the temple is in place. The priest robe, all the trumpets and whatever they have to do, is in place right now, you know. So, Israel is being cautionary to declare overnight before its time, the temple mass will cause unnecessary war, you know. But we know when the time comes, you know, no matter what United Nations says, you know, as you know, that temple will be built, you know, it will be built. So what is happening is that Israel is getting annihilated, and when that man, of a magical character, you know, who seem to be favor the world, you know, or all the economic problems of the world, I can solve them, he says. Even in Daniel 8:25, we are told, it will even cause cash to prosper. All the governments of the nations, they are in economic turmoil. Even in the U.S. here, they are talking of the, even, you know, now they collect from your payroll, right? Social Security, they collect from your payroll, right? They used to fund all these things around the world. And they are always talking of this thing running out, you know, so they can't pay the seniors Social Security again, you know, in, I don't know, maybe 10 years or something, you know. So they are saying that kind of thing. So they are also in trouble too, but I believe what is favoring them is the preaching of the gospel, you know. So what I'm saying is this, Israel will push to a war, even our greatest ally, you know, probably will turn against her. Then this man of sin will arise, who seems to be able to solve all economic problems. Where anarchy has set into almost all the nations, and so he will arise, you know, like an evil genius, you know, he will arise and say, well, here is the solution, and they will listen to him and so on because of what he's proposing, make Christ to prosper, maybe even help, maybe he will settle the temple mountain forever by working with the Arabs and so forth, by evil genius, work with the Arabs and Israel and so forth, I don't know. So Bible says a covenant, make a covenant, Isaiah call it in today's chapter of Isaiah, a covenant of peace, of death, rather, he called it and so forth. Then we call the two witnesses and so on, around the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, and warn the Jews against this evil character, you know, called the Antichrist and so on. They warn them against and so on, you know. Then, of course, you know, so, and they repeat the same gospel that you and I have now. You see, the gospel is shifting back. This is the time of the Gentile being fulfilled. The Bible says, and so the Lord says, Jerusalem shall be trodden out of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentile is fulfilled. These are the events of the 70th week of Daniel, between the 69 and the 70th week, the Gentile era. So the Gentile era finishes, and some of that, you know. So this man of sin will arise and so on, and then help them to build their temple, and then issue a mark. You know, he has lured all the world by his magical, economic, and so on, maneuvering, and so on. You know, he gather all the gold together in the stronghold and some of that, you know. And, and like an evil Joseph now. You know, Joseph was a good Joseph, you know, a time of crisis and famine in the world, but this one is an evil Joseph, he will arise and find out, you know, and he will issue a mark concerning the economy of the world. The good student, Joseph didn't issue any mark, you know, to bring your money and so on. And this one will issue a mark. Revelation 13 says so and so on. That nobody can buy or sell until they have a mark, either in their forehead or their right hand. And that mark is either, you know, the name of the, and so on, or a mark, 666. It says, you know, the book of Revelation says so and so on, you know. And then, you know, in the temple, you will now, the temple may be able to be, get in there and say, you know what? Oh, you Jews, I'm that Messiah you have been expecting and so forth. That begins the great tribulation, you know. Great tribulation, some of that, you know. And the Bible says, so, you know, the Lord Jesus, Daniel even says it. He says, a time of trouble, such as never been since there was a nation. The Lord said, a time of trouble. The Lord said the same thing, a time of trouble since there, you know, was a nation. And the two prophets and some of that, the Lord said that and so on. Those are the events of the 70th week. We believe the church will go up. Just before he declared that to be God of the Messiah in the temple, we believe the church will be going up at that time. So looking at the world, we see how close it is. Like they always say, it is later than we think. We ought to always watch and pray. So let us hear the word of the Lord in Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always. As you can't say worthy to escape all these things. If the Bible says a time of trouble that the world has never seen before, which means World War II, all the world wars will be nothing compared to this time, then I think it be holy creation to hear the word of the Lord and to keep our eye open, you know, always looking for the coming of the Lord. Bible says, in an hour we think not, the Son of Man cometh, you know. The apostles, they thought that the Lord will come in their time. Many Bible passages and so forth, you know, they think he come in their time. They didn't read closely what the Lord said. Even at the ascension, oh Lord, without it at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel again, he didn't answer them any question. I've been telling you many times since I was here for 3.5 years, what you did, or you have a job to do, you know, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of it. And that is your task right now. They are forgotten, Matthew 24, verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to the nation. They forgot all those things and so on. There's a work to be done before it comes. He even told them in parables, the kingdom of God is like a man, you know, went to a far country, you know, and gave talents, you know, to his disciples and so on that, you know. And some he gave 5, the other one he gave 2, the other one. The 5 went and traded with his own and got 5 more, and the Lord rewarded him and so on. The 2 went to trade, well done, got 2 more, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord and so on. The one wicked servant buried his own talent. We learn something else, you know. So then after a long time, he returned. He was prophesying to them that there be a time before his ascension and coming back. He didn't get all those things, you know. But now in the church age, we know, we now understand all those things, why there was a delay. Talking about the 70th week, the 69 and 70th week delay. We're talking about that one in all those parables and so all over the Bible, you know. And we are at this side of the dispensation to see all these things. Oh, no wonder he said, blessed are your eyes that see these things. And blessed are your ears that hear these things. The things which even prophets even wrote these things and so on, kings desire to see, and it wasn't given to them. Give it to you and I. What a blessed generation and so forth, you know. So let us be watchful and be praying. In Mark 13, I believe it is 35. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch, he said, and so forth, you know. Everyone is to watch and so forth. So, Lord, we thank you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us spiritual eyes, the eagle's eyes. The eagle can fly high into the heaven. If the hawk or any other boy will attempt to go there, they'll be blinded by the sun. Not the eagle. Oh my. The eagle children. The eagle Christian. They can see by prophetic revelation. You know. And the sun won't do anything. To them, they fear the Lord, the Son of Righteousness. With healing his wings and so on. They are healing to us and so on. You know. So but give us the prophetic understanding of the times. You know, so we thank you for that this morning. Lord, This will make us to be very sober. That is the effect of the vision. Unto whom much is given, much is expected. Much has been given to us, Lord. Much is expected of us. And by your grace, O Lord God, we know we stand stronger. Stand no watching and witnessing. Telling the nations this thing, witnessing. There is a midnight cry going on. Bible said the midnight cry and so forth. No, behold the bridegroom cometh. That's how we preach the coming all the time. Behold the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. So we thank you, Lord, to keep us watching and waiting and trusting the Lord and to witness as many as we could, as the Holy Ghost will lead us in all the different of manners. We thank you this morning. And we know you will supply our needs. You will tell us in so many ways, seek you for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You catch it in Luke chapter 12. You know, behold the ravens, you know, and so forth. They do not sow. They don't even reap. They have no barn. No. Yes, your heavenly Father feedeth them. How much more will they close you, O ye of little faith? Then he even talk of the lily. See how they grow. They do not spin, they do not toil. And yes, Solomon, in all of his glory, not only as one of these. How much will he even close us to that? So we thank you, we take care of us, Elijah the prophet and so forth, the type of Elijah saints and so forth at the end of the time. Lord, you took care of all these needs. And it's not by itself. Our God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. Those words are infallible in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you just hold on to them, Lord, we supply our needs. The Jehovah Jireh of the Old Testament is our supplier of the New Testament. We supply all our needs. Lord, we thank you this morning. As we go this morning, we commit the new to your hand, Lord. Commit our way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. That we say we shall bring it to pass. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Commit all our way to you. Commit your work to the Lord. So shall your thoughts be established. The Bible says, so all these things are true and we go. And the Bible tells us, all these blessings shall go with us and overtake us. Said the scripture. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as our joy may be full, that's what he wants us to do. So we thank you for being with us this morning. And we worship and adore you. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.